Shut up and sit down.
Hello, and welcome to episode 112 of Geek Grills. The Geek Grills podcast is supported primarily by our patrons. You can find us at www.patreon.com/grills, and, you know, join us. And what do we even call our... Do we have a name for our fan base?
Girlfriends.
The Girlfriends, that's right. I don't know how I forgot that. The Girlfriends. It's been a very long day. I am Linda, and I am joined by my co-host September, a.k.a. 9 of 12.
Hello, hello.
So what have you been up to this week?
Well, you know, I started notes, and I was like, man, I didn't do anything geeky because I've been, like, working on this election, and tomorrow's election day. But actually, I mean, that's kind of my brand of nerd, so I guess I have. Like, including today, I was pulling early voting data and looking at how many people already voted and in different precincts in our county and comparing it to the state averages, and yeah, I guess that's kind of fucking nerdy. And then I was listening to our last episode when I wasn't here, and it did get mentioned that when Halloween, or the day before Halloween, I was getting a cover tattoo, and oh my god, well, I was in for more than I thought, because the proportions of the old one that I got 20 years ago and never got finished, to get what I wanted over it involved basically my whole back. Oh. So I have this amazing dragon that will someday be blue, but I probably have about 4 hours. I'm going to have to do probably another 4 to just get the black and whites and grays in.
Oh, yeah, my friend he's got a Hammer Horror sleeve that he's done. It's full color now, but it took him like months and months because he had to do just the outlines and then like just a section of a time filled with color. And he got, what did he call it? A tattoo flu. He got tattoo flu, which is he got sick because of how much ink was going into his body. His body was like, God. What are you doing?
I've never heard of that. Jeez.
Well, I don't know if it's actually a thing, but that's what he called it. He called it tattoo flu.
Yeah, it's quite an endeavor, but I'm going to finish this one this time, damn it. It's got to happen. And then, of course, Halloween happened, and we did do Halloween, you know, dressing up and going out and entering contests and losing.
But I mean, thought there your was costume just... was amazing.
Thank you. It was fun. It was well received. We did our Gomez Adams and Lily Munster swinging. But in the couples category at our local, our friend Peter went and he just had a shirt that had Peter, and his wife was a pumpkin.
Oh.
So yeah. It's about one in the morning, everybody is drunk, that wins.
Yeah, it's both dirty and sweet at the same time.
Yeah. And people kept seeing them separately and not getting it. Because, like, his name is Peter, and he just says, sure, it says Peter, and they're like, And then he'd go over to Nicole, and they'd be like, oh, my God. So that's all that. What have you been up to?
Well, I managed to finish another commission. A friend of mine wanted a vest for one of the LARPs that we play in. So I made her a lovely decorative vest. It's got like red trim on the bottom and yellow trim along the sides, and it's all laced up. And it's got a little patch of the NPC group that she's part of. So it's a little wolf's head, a little dog's head.
Oh, okay, I was wondering what that was. I was like, is that Black Panther? Because I'm really confused about it being that.
No. She wanted it to be subtle and smallish. So I'm like, okay, I can do subtle and smallish. So I got that done. Don't fall. Okay, it didn't fall. We went out on Saturday. Yes, Saturday night, and we did karaoke, which is I've done karaoke in a large, like a big setting. It was like a bar, but this was an actual, like, you had separate rooms for your party that you had. So there was only like five of us that managed to make it there, but we had a small room just to ourselves to go sing karaoke. So I, you know, it was less nerve wracking because I was just singing in front of my friends rather than like an entire bar of strangers. It was a lot of fun. Blew out my voice though, because A, I didn't warm up, and B, I sang things that were out of my range. But you know, it was fun. And then NaNoWriMo has started up, National Novel Writing Month. I'm making pretty good progress so far. I've written about 9,000 words. Not sure if I'm going to be able to keep it up. There's probably going to be some days when I don't make the goal. There's probably going to be some days when I don't write at all, but I'm going to do my best to keep writing, even if it's not the thing that I started writing. So,
well, you're super brave. I've still never attempted it myself.
It's like, there's not a lot of pressure. It's more pressure on yourself. But the site where you make, you know, your profile is just there to be like, it gives you badges when you get milestones. There's like encouraging emails that it sends you to be like, you know, don't give up. There's not any real like, oh God, you have to finish this like pressure though. It's just, they're trying to be as like helpful and uplifting as possible. So I appreciate that.
I always see a lot of encouragement for it on Twitter and such.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a pretty good community, especially the people around Atlanta. the Atlanta community for NaNoWriMo is pretty good. We're called pandas. I mean, I think it's everybody in general, but they're like, "Hello, pandas!" So.
Where'd that name come from?
I honestly don't remember. NaNoWriMo is quite a few years old now. I think it got started in like, gosh, I don't even know what year it got started, but far earlier than I started using it. So I don't know. I don't know where the name Pandas came from, but it's cute.
It is cute. I just imagine pandas sitting with notebooks. Writing.
Yeah, they've got a lot of cute little like drawn characters. It's just like, keep going. Keep writing. So yeah, that's what I've been up to, just writing up a storm. So I think since the Jen is not to be able to join us this week, we can move on to the Geek Grapevine. So, the first one here, I believe, is yours.
Yes.
So, let's see.
Reverend Barney, who I do the Heresy and Hearsay podcast with, sent me this, and I was like, oh, wow. The Catholic Church has launched its own version of Pokemon Go.
Okay.
Where children catch saints. So, it's called Follow JC Go. I did download it to see what's up, and unfortunately, it looks like it's all in Spanish. Like, there must be a setting to change it to English, but in the menu I'm seeing now, it's, I can see, like, you can create an account, you continue on Facebook. I don't know what ya tienes una cuenta means, but, you know. And then there's another one, and I don't know what that means.
It might be Italian.
Yeah, yeah, it's probably Italian. It's just really close to, yeah. So, I guess I'll have to get through that and log in somehow, and then maybe there are settings where I could do it in English.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting controversy because people, I mean, already have issues with, like the indoctrination is very strong. You're born in, you're baptized, and it's been equated to child abuse to just brainwash children that way. And now this is kind of, those people are grabbing onto this as, you know, just trying to grab young people.
I think it was probably developed in the kind of best possible with the best possible intentions. We just have to see how it's used. I think that's going to be the big thing.
Yeah. We shall see. I'm interested. I'm really curious about this.
I would still find it more entertaining to catch a Pokemon at the Vatican than a saint, but you know,
And there are
maybe
so
that's
many, though. Like, it's a weird, I mean, I
yeah.
gotta catch them all mentality about it. But I'm
Yeah.
curious to see what the catch is, if it's got any lore included, because like, you don't know anything about a Pokemon when you catch it other than its type, right? And its battle moves. Like, are they gonna battle? That would be really weird. But when you get like gifts from a stop, and I love that learning aspect in Pokemon Go where I can click on that spot. Like, you send me something, and those little history bits about whatever landmark it is are in there. And the church could do something where it had a blurb about the saint, but not if the saints are the creatures. So I'm curious. I mean, they're using the same engines, but I'm interested in the format.
Maybe instead of battle moves, it'll have little tidbits of like
Yeah, do something different. I
what their
mean,
deal is. I'm not
pretty
sure.
funny. Like, there's so many churches or gyms.
Well, I
Although
mean, of
I
course.
don't know how the Presbyterian Church would feel about it. You take over their gym with like Saint John, that'd be really rude.
Very, very rude. Yeah. I have spent a couple of sermons at my parents' church catching Pokemon and doing gym things.
Did you ever hear there was like this group of crazies who were you know, internet crazies, imagine that, talking about demons, like saying at Pokemon we're like they're virtual demons and they're invading our churches, and look, they have maps of our land on the Pokemon Go app, and they're just trying to conspire to do us violence. It was incredibly weird and wild.
Oh, there's people that don't know how computers and technology works.
Right? Holy crap.
Oh, almost as bad as the lady that was like, I'm not gonna learn how to use computers because I'm old. It's like, that is the most. That had to be like the most selfish thing I had ever heard. Not even selfish, it's not the right word, but like self-absorbed. There's this woman that like called in to talk to the owner of the business that I work for, and she's an old friend of his, apparently. And I was like, he's not here. He's going to be out on vacation for like 2 weeks, but he's still checking his email. Do you want his email address? And she was like, oh, I don't use computers. I'm too old. I'm never going to learn because I'm too old. And I was like, lady. Okay,
Okay.
then.
I mean, I guess if you don't know what you're missing.
I guess. I just. Oi. Anyway,
Anyway, what else we got?
I found an interesting thing because I always like to do the sciencey kind of things. They are making a fleet of drones to help with search and rescue for like lost hikers. Colorado. Let's see. They first used them in July to look for a hiker in the Colorado's Rocky Mountain National Forest. But it was having issues because they needed a lot of GPS signals. So researchers from MIT have been modifying drones to allow a fleet to work together so that they can use each other to ping off the GPS navigation, so they don't need it from like they can just use each other as like a grid. It like
Oh,
it
nice. That's an excellent use.
yeah it like it re reminds me actually of was it Guardians of the Galaxy 2 or 1, where they had just the grid of ships
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
that all
yeah. They
work in
link
tandem.
up. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of. So, the MIT news says that each drone is equipped with laser range finders for position estimation, localization, and path planning. And as the drone flies around, it creates an individual 3D map of the terrain. And then each individual 3D map is all hooked together, and then they use it to try to identify missing hikers or something that's out of place. So I thought that was really cool because it's another technological step that is only going to help, you know, because it can be used for search and rescue and who
You know,
knows
I
what
keep
else.
thinking, like, really, GPS tracking people are such nerds. Like, how long is it before somebody hacks that to cheat?
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure someone's tried once already, and they're just gonna try again.
Or
So,
it'll be unintentional, because I know people who do
yeah.
that, and they end up with this GPS trouble where it looks like there's someone they're not where they're not. When you're trying to pinpoint something so small in such a small place, they run into trouble. So I can see them trying to like improve it by, well, there's these other drones doing this thing.
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for the underwater drones, you know, so we can start mapping out the oceans, 'cause we only mapped out like 5% of our oceans.
It is
There,
the final frontier.
we know more about space than 70% of our own planet. Whoops.
Well, it's hard.
I know it's hard because you're dealing with pressure and all that stuff. I know. It boggles my mind sometimes.
Yeah, it's really weird to think about. But I mean, I guess a vacuum and a lack of things like currents. It was apparently easier.
Yep, currents and sharks and dolphins and giant squids.
Things that would try to eat it.
Poor little drones. Out on their own in the ocean, just trying to swim along. And now I've given it a story and a life. Go me.
There you go.
I anthropomorphize everything, including my
Maybe
tarot decks.
you could put it in your novel.
Maybe. But yes, yeah, segue. I anthropomorphize everything, including my tarot decks, which is a nice segue into what we are talking about this week. We decided because, actually, each of us, Jen included, even though she's not with us, we all have done or do tarot. I've got like three decks. I actually have them here on my desk with me.
Yeah, it was funny when I was doing the editing and it was like, does September do tarot? I don't know. I think maybe. And I'm like, I have so many. I've been doing it for very, very, well, I haven't done it in a long time, but I did start doing it a very long time ago. I can't even, I think it was one of the first things that really intrigued me while I was still Catholic. That started to get me in trouble.
I found again, I do believe this was the episode title for last week, but I found the wiki page for esoteric tarot. So take all of this with a grain of Wikipedia salt.
Yeah, that's a little sloppy article. I found.
Yeah, it like there was a one that's just about tarot cards, but it's
Well, they have a one for the majors and one for the minors, so it just kind of goes through the
majors,
decks.
minors. Yeah, you in order to get like complete history from Wikipedia, you have to go down a couple keyholes. So I know that I believe they got started like I want to say get started, but they were recorded as being used from about the 15th century.
Well, yeah, but
But
it's
I
really interesting that the shady bits of this history, because they were a card deck and people had used card regular cards for like divination, and the tarot seems to have been more just another card game. I was looking for that because I've always been curious about that. Like, what kind of games can you play with it? And it's very much like a trumping game, like spades, that kind of
Oh,
thing.
yeah.
But some, fanatics were like seeing women playing with these cards and going, oh, they're up to something, and decided that it was like this mystical, oh, they're doing divination and we have to punish them. But it seems to have actually branched from there, that people started to actually use them for divination and develop and record methods by which it was done. But And that's what they were claiming.
Well,
It was from like Egyptian and stuff, but the Romani have a long history that we don't know if it predates this, when this shit got written down.
yeah, because you wonder if like if they were just using them as a card game, and then somebody pointed at them and went, "It's a witch," and then eventually they went, "Well, you know what? If I'm going to be called a witch anyway, let's do some divinations." You know,
Yeah.
I don't know.
Especially
I
because of
mean.
the similarities between that and regular cards, which had been used for divination. I mean, why wouldn't you? And it's not out of the question that they were using it that way.
Yeah, it's just so I think officially, quote unquote, they're recorded as being started using around the 15th century, but you gotta kind of understand that there's a lot that we don't know about that wasn't written down. So I'd be willing to put money on these something like this being used beforehand, but just kind of tarot as just a divination tool, it can be as kind of vague or as pointed as you want it to be, because this one that I have right here that I'm kind of playing with, I actually use this deck. This is my animal deck. It's instead of the normal ones, which are like pentacles, wands, swords, and cups. This has feathers. Feathers, which is supposed to be swords. Fossils, which are supposed to be pentacles, shells, which are cups, and let me see if I can branches, which are wands. But it's all supposed to be, it's all naturalistic. It's all different animals, like, what, I'm trying to find a good one. The king of cups is shark, is guardian of shells, is what it's called. So each deck is going to be kind of a little bit different, but I used this deck mainly for a while for one of the LARPs I played in. And man, did it get an attitude. This is the sassiest deck of cards I have ever done tarot with. I actually, like, after that game, I stopped playing that game. I put these like under my pillow for a couple of days to try and like cleanse them, because I'm like, you are still stuck in the game.
Oh.
These cards don't want to do normal readings. They wanted to do readings for Fracture, which was the game I was playing. And I was like, Let's try it. Let's get you back into the real world, shall we?
That's an interesting concept to like attune it to, actually you instead of your character. Tarot takes a lot of crap, and I think there are a lot of charlatans out there who are not properly using the tool. Even because there is so much rich symbolism in them that two people could look at a spread. That's what you call the cards when you lay it out. And there are different ways to do it. Like you can do simple past, present, future, or you can do things about a specific question and, look all around it. That I use like a Celtic cross type spread when I do it. But two people that read could look at it and get something different. There are some basics. I mean, between the majors, the minors, and the suits. But sometimes a particular little bit of symbolism will jump out at you, and it's kind of like an intuitive between you and the person. I'm sure a lot of it is just picking up on body language. But there are people who just sensationalize or they overgeneralize. I mean, there are certain problems everyone has, right? And that's why people don't believe anything about divination, because you can always say something that people want to hear. Or that seems true, and then it makes it all look like garbage. But even if you don't believe in it, but you're an intuitive person who's really good at body language, you can use tarot, and it's a communication tool. It's like therapy.
Well, even like I have a couple, 'cause my memory is terrible and I'm never going to remember all of the symbolism for each card. So I actually have a couple of books that I use when I'm doing a reading, and I'll go through and I'll see what's kind of, if I've drawn like the Knight of Cups, I'll look through what this book, tells me that that means, but I use kind of my intuition to see what grabs me from that description. Like if it's talking about, for example, the knight as like a person, and I know that they either have just met somebody or they're concerned about someone, depending on how well I know them, I can know that that is what that card might be meaning for them. On the other hand, if I don't have that context, that part of the description may not jump out at me because it may be like I don't think this is what that card means. And I even have, like I said, I have a couple of different books for different decks that I use for different readings, because the like my animal deck does very different reads than, say, my Deep Woods deck, which is the another deck I have. Oh, sh This one is less sassy, but it's got like the it's not even Norse, it's Celtic. It's got like a Celtic gods, Celtic folklore kind of feel to it. Like it's got like the green man and that kind of iconography.
Yeah. I have some neat ones I'd like to show you.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Okay. I switched
Yes.
to off push to talk so I could use my hands. So this is one of my favorite things I own in the whole world. That many, many years ago, the Triad of the White Raven, my friends Mark and Trib, got people to pitch in and buy this for me for my birthday, because we were all young and, not wealthy. But it's very fancy. It's got gold leaf. And this is the Salvador Dali tarot deck.
Oh, that's fancy.
There are only so many made. I love this thing. I don't use it much because it's very fancy. But I own an art print that I got at the Dali Museum in St. Petersburg, Florida, that I have on my wall framed, so I can always look at it without doing it further damage. The one I use most often is actually a Sandman deck, because I'm not weird enough that I'm well, not even Sandman, it's Vertigo. So was super nerd. I actually divine with a comic book themed deck with all artists from Vertigo.
I mean, why not? Why
Sure. I
not?
never got the hang of this one, but it is one of these ones that has a very different format. And that's another thing I think is interesting. Like you said, like yours changes the suits, you know, and whatever. I have a Mage the Ascension tarot.
Oh my goodness.
So it has correspondences that relate to the whole world of darkness and all the different spheres.
Now I want a werewolf. I want a werewolf like World of Darkness deck.
Right? Yeah, the mage one is super awesome. And I've got this Russian one I used for a long time until I got the Sandman one. And then this card deck is not tarot. They're, like I said, you can do it with playing cards, you can do it with lots of things. But I have a deck that's called the Oracle of the Dreamtime. It is based on Australian Aboriginal myths.
Ooh, that's cool.
And this is such a beautiful book and cards. Even if you're never going to use the cards, it's got really great, it's a great way to learn Aboriginal mythos. It's got all these different figures from it. And in the book, there are stories about each of them, like the Seven Sisters, Stuart's Desert Pea. There's a story in here about kangaroo. And I have a friend who has since passed that when I sat by his bed as he was when he was very ill, his name was Joey. And I used to read him this story at bedtime. Anyway, so anyway, super symbolic and cool.
That actually reminds me a little bit. There is a game. It's not a tarot deck, but my parents have this game that they've had since before I was born. I don't even know where they got it. That is basically the journey of Ra through the underworld. Like you play the game and you're learning about Egyptian history as you're playing the game of him going through all the different worlds of the
Oh, right
underworld to
on.
get back. And I thought that was so interesting because it's not something that you normally expect kind of like to see. And I was just
Yeah.
like, that reminds me of that.
So it's like flashcards for mythology. That's one of those things in this article. They have this criticism. Like, I guess they had to feel like they put something from another side in it, even though the article itself has very little citation. Where this guy, apparently James Randi, the skeptic, for use as a divinatory device, the tarot deck is dealt out at various patterns and interpreted by a gifted reader. The fact that the deck is not dealt out into the same pattern 15 minutes later is rationalized by the occultists by claiming that in the short span of time, a person's fortune can change too. That would seem to call for rather frequent readings if the system is to be of any use whatsoever. So he's using data analysis for an intuitive tool. You know what I mean? Like, that seems like a really
Because
unfair criticism.
here's the thing, like you can look at a situation and deal out some like a hand of tarot and you can interpret it, and then if you deal out another hand for the same situation, that may help you look at it from a different angle. That tarot to me is what I would call, like, this is going to be silly, practical magic. It's not magic, but it's you use it to either get advice or kind of step back to look at a situation. It's
Yeah,
not
I mean,
even,
people say fortune telling, and it's got this mystique around it, but it also has a bad rap for we're not telling you the future, right? It's
No,
never going to
yeah.
be, oh my gosh, tomorrow, don't go to Fifth and Vine because you'll be hit by a car, right? That's not at all what's going on.
No, it's more like it's if you're
And if
having
anybody ever
like
does that when you get red, walk away. They're a charlatan. Just
yeah, 'cause that's not no. That's also they're probably the ones planning it, so stay very far away from them. No, you used tarot, at least I would use it for like either introspection or again advice. But it's not going to be like these are the numbers you need to put on your lottery ticket. Like that's not that's not what tarot is for. If you want to do a Celtic cross and use all those numbers on your lottery ticket, by all means, go for it. But it's not gonna guarantee that you're gonna win anything.
Not any more than anything else. And if it is, let us know because we're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
I could use a lottery.
Yeah, if we need to like smoke something beforehand to get those cards to tell us what numbers, please tell us.
We doing the ritual wrong?
Yeah, probably doing the ritual wrong.
Yeah, I've had interesting. You ever read For Money?
Not real money. I've read for game money.
LARP
LARP money. I read for LARP money, but I've never actually done a reading for like actual money.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't know how I feel about it. To me, tarot is like is kind of just fun. Also, if I'm doing a like I actually did notice if I'm doing readings and I'm doing accurate readings, which I actually managed to do for the characters of that LARP that I was playing, it was very odd. I get tired. Like after a while, that part of my brain that's doing the interpreting needs a break. 'Cause I remember
Well,
I
yeah, you're
did,
dealing with a lot.
yeah, I did like four or five in a row at game, and then I was like, I need to put these away for a while because I'm getting not even stressed, I'm just getting tired. Like,
One time back in Buffalo, I was at the Allentown Art Festival, and there was someone out in the end of the dingy end of the street where the punk rockers hung out, and she was. I think she's charging like $15 a reading or something. I don't know. And I was hanging out in that area with, other people having a coffee, and she was bad. Just
just bad.
garbage. Just that surfacey, you could say that to anyone, it would be true stuff that makes me a little annoyed.
Yeah.
And so I was wearing a big old skirt. And I just kind of plopped down on the sidewalk very nearby and spread out my skirt and got my cards out of my purse and started doing readings for nothing. And because I'm not going to fake it. And if I'm not getting anything, I'm not getting anything. But like the first person that walked up, there was something, a story that seemed very, very specific and evident to me about a breakup she was going through and what had happened to cause the current conflict. And I just said, okay, so this guy, and just started talking in a very casual manner because I kind of don't do all this, ooh, spooky. But I have a very basic style of reading that took a while to figure out things where if you have a lot of major arcana, you have less control over the situation.
Yeah.
If you have more minors, you have a little more control depending where it lay and spread. Ones that represent people more obviously than other cards. And she got a little freaked out and upset because it was really specific. And who are you talking to? What do, you don't know me. And I'm like, I'm just, it's right there. Like, I don't. I'm trying, you asked a question. I'm telling you. And she like She was kind of freaked out, and she was pacing around, and then she left. But boy, people got in line. And the charlatan left soon after. So I guess it was really bitchy, but it was like the right thing to do. I really felt strongly that, like, I do know people that do it as part of, you know, their income, and to give it a bad name isn't okay.
If you're going to do it as part of your income, be good at it. Don't be wishy-washy. Oh, yeah. Like, for me, a lot of the times the major arcana represent people. And of course, I'm just over here shuffling my cards. And because I'm talking to you, I pulled one and it's the High Priestess. Congrats.
Gosh, that has actually happened a lot.
My unicorn deck thinks that you're the High Priestess, so there we go.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm totally a unicorn.
This is my newest deck. My friend Kelly just gave it to me. Not just gave it to me, but she gave it to me a couple months ago, and I like unicorns, so.
Somebody asked me, I ran into a friend of mine yesterday who's opened this shop in town. I think I kind of like handmade soaps and essential oils and that kind of, you know, health woo. And they're doing meditation stuff. And she asked me if I was interested in doing readings, like in their back room at certain times. And I don't know. I mean, I haven't read. When's the last time I read? A couple years ago, I was specifically asked by some very close friends to do some readings. Well, it started with, I got this reading, can you explain it to me? And their deck was really weird, and I had to look a few things up, because they had things that were like, it was all female. They had all, changed all the male representation to female, being all feminist. I'm like, but then you miss some kind of specific things. And it had, like, you know, because you got like page, knight, queen, king stuff, and it was had different names and it was in a different order, so I had to, but I figured it out and I gave an interpretation that seemed to make sense. And then they asked me for a reading for another person involved in the situation, and I did that. But that's really the only thing I've done in tarot in probably 20 years. I started having kids and I don't have time for all this stuff. But yeah, my oldest started asking me about it maybe six months ago. And I guess he has a deck, and like he isn't talking about it anymore. But one night it was like, Mom, he was doing meditations. Because a lot of times people do this when they're starting to learn tarot, especially. It's a good way to learn the deck is pull a card, read about the definition, think about it, sleep on it. You know? Sometimes you'll dream, or it'll stick in your head, or it's something to meditate on. And he was doing it randomly and pulled the same card like 3 days in a row and was freaking out. That shouldn't happen.
Obviously, your deck thinks you haven't gotten it yet. So think some more on it.
Exactly. It's pretty much what I told him.
Yeah. No, I haven't done like a bunch of reading like I did since that game. I was thinking about pulling in divinations for this next character that I'm going to do in the Gardens of Destiny LARP. But I don't know if I want to do tarot again, because I've done that as a character. And if I pull in one of my decks into game, it's going to get skewed to the game, and then I'll have to go and cleanse it later. But what I might do is rune reading, because I've got runes. And
I was going to ask what your character was like, because I mean, yeah, there are runes, there are bones, there's pendulums.
Well, it's very, the world she's from is based on Shakespearean, so runes or bones would work for that kind of Witch of the Waste kind of vibe that I'm going for. Tarot is a little bit more elegant, in my opinion. Although,
I'm sure you could get a really grungy deck.
I'm sure I could, but you know, it's just I was like, it's just because I've done tarot for a character before, and a lot of my friends who play the game with me remember that character, so I just kind of want to go away from it, try something new. But I do love tarot. It's just I haven't done like super amounts of reading since that character. But when I would get my other deck and read for, you know, for the real world, I tend to get pretty spot on readings. But like I said, doing it for multiple people just tires me the hell out. I get
I think
tired.
there's a lot of that we don't even, I mean, think about it. I mean, you could write it all off to like an esoteric power, but there is a lot of awareness,
Well, it's a lot
and
of
interaction,
mental.
like little things, like that lie detector we have built in, we don't even realize that you're not. And I think when you're doing something, and tarot is another one of those tools, like most things, of an esoteric or an arcane nature, where it's just helping us tune into instincts we don't always use. So their eye movements, their body language, their pupils dilating, their reaction to something you say leads you through this path with all that symbolism that we don't remember exactly what that means, but like you're like accessing that file somewhere in your brain, and it can definitely be so mentally exhausting.
Yeah, 'cause I remember one specific reading where I pulled out, it was just like a small three card reading, of like past, present, future kind of reading. And the middle card, which was the present card, I immediately was like, that's a person. And that person is giving you trouble. I don't know. It was one of those things that just kind of clicked right away. And her eyes got just like huge. And I was just like, yep.
Yep. It's amazing, weird thing when you nail it. Like,
Don't let this person bully you around. She got out of that relationship later, which was good. I don't think it necessarily had anything to do with my reading, but it was probably just one thing along a long line of warning signs that she finally paid attention to.
well, good. I mean, you very much said, like, it's a lot like that. I think people go for readings, and it's a form of therapy.
I do like it, and I like all the imagery and symbolism, and I've seen some gorgeous decks that I would love to have.
I know, I had to stop. I used to, I was collecting and collecting, and I mean, there's always more. Whatever, kind of art you like,
Oh,
somebody has made a tarot deck.
there's this gorgeous Art Deco one that I adore because I have discovered that I really like Art Deco. And I was just like, I want it, but it's like $50.
It's like I'd love to replace my Vertigo one, but it's way too expensive to replace now. Like, I ordered it when it came out. And then I was at Disney World, and I went on Splash Mountain, and it got wet. So,
Oh
I mean, it's
no.
not like, and it was really soon after I got it. But it kind of makes it look like really aged authentic, because it's kind of like, frayed on the edges a little more, and like it looks aged way more than it has actually been. It looks more used than it was, too, because it got wet early in its life. It survived.
My animal
It also
deck
has
is
symbolism that, like, most people don't get, which I hate to say is handy. Because sometimes, like, people who know about tarot, and then they want you to read them, and then they get this, like, oh, like you're doing it wrong, You don't. No. You can't do that. You should know better. It means an overall thing, but there's 16 different things on that card. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, what was I even thinking? It's like the two of cups or something. It's the two of cups, but it's also got like the infinity symbol, and then there's water, and there's many ways that that can be interpreted. So let me interpret it for you. If you don't like my interpretation, that's fine.
Now, do you do reversed?
Yes.
For those of you out there who are uninitiated, you can read tarot cards and they have a different meaning upside down.
Yes, so you've got the for those of you who are on Twitch with us, you've got the upright, and then but you can also draw it upside down, which is called the reversed. Reversed doesn't always necessarily mean it's negative.
No.
Reversed just means it's a different way of reading it. I also get that with the devil card and the tower. People are always like, "Oh God," and I'm like, "It's fine. It's not terrible. It's okay." And
You'll be okay. And death. Death is not death.
Death is just change. It's okay.
Don't panic.
Chill out.
But there are people who won't, who don't do reverse at all, which I don't know. It doesn't. Like, so what do you do? Because for me, a very important part of doing it is the person who is asking shuffles. I mean, it's part of the psychological preparation, right? Like, it's in their hands. They're thinking about the question. They are placing the cards. Almost like a magic trick, right? You want them to know
Well,
that you're not setting it up as well.
even that is different with different readers. Like when I'm doing a reading for somebody, if I'm just doing kind of a three card spread, which is the easiest you can do, which is just the past, present, future thing, I shuffle. But I shuffle a very specific amount of times. And I shuffle just thinking about that person. If they don't want to ask a question, if they just want the like a generic spread, that's my kind of like modus operandi, if you
If I do a
will.
three card, I'll shuffle, but I will put the card the deck between us and have them cut for the three.
If I'm doing a bigger reading, like a cross or a oh God, what is it called? My brain has just gone blank, but there's another big one. I do a cross and then a tree. Then they can shuffle because that's a specific thing and they need to put their energy into that deck.
Yeah, so I don't know that much about you.
Yeah. So each reader is going to do a different thing, a different way. You were going somewhere with that, and I just kind of jumped in.
No, I'm just like, I don't know. I don't know what else to cover other than this is
I
what I try
think
to learn one
no,
of these
to...
games and actually play a game with it, and that might be
yeah,
neat. I've never done that.
that would be interesting to just kind of find whatever Trump game that they used to play. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into that. But so if you
Have the
guys
ink.
know, there is a link. If you guys know of the different kinds of games you could play with tarot cards, or if you want to chime in with your experiences with tarot, you can do so at emailing us geekgrills@gmail.com, or you can give us a ring at 508-474-5577. You can also tweet us at geekgrills. That was fun.
Yeah.
So, what are you most anticipating right now, Ember?
The end of the election. For good or ill. Hopefully for good. I'm in a really difficult area for what I'm trying to do. But I crunched some good numbers today, so there is hope. And then there will be not dreaming about crunching data anymore at night, because that's a little horrifying. Wake up in the morning going, did I pull that list? Oh, did I take out the early voters? Oh, it's ridiculous. And then I can go to the Ren Festival, which I also have not managed to do. I was gonna go Sunday, and then I went, oh, I'm hosting trivia. Whoops, can't go. So I'm not sure if I'm taking my son for his birthday again this year. That will depend on him.
You guys are so lucky that it's in fall. Ours is in the middle of summer.
Yeah, I gotta give North Carolina some credit for having the smarts to do it in the fall.
Oh man, I have to put on every 2 hours. Did we put on sunscreen? Put on the sunscreen. Well, I hope you have fun at Renfest.
I hope I get to go.
And then as for myself, I have the After the End LARP, which is the Western sci-fi post-apoc LARP. It's a lot of names there, but it's really fun. It's down in well, not even. We've moved up to an actual like Western replica Western town, so it's up on the edge of the Tennessee-Kentucky border is where we play. So, hey, if any of our listeners are around there and they want to try out a Western sci-fi LARP similar to Firefly, come and join us. After the End LARP. Okay, shameless plug is done.
Yay.
yay.
Well, we'll go straight into another one. Remember, folks, you can always come and watch us record live at twitch.tv/geekgrills on Monday evenings. The next one should be about 8:30 on November 12th. We'd love to see you here.
Yes. In addition to subs and bits we get on Twitch, we're supported by our amazing patrons. They are the greatest grill friends on the internet. You can become a patron by going to www.patreon.com/grills. And if you can't leave us bits or become a patron, you can always leave a review on any of your podcast catchers. They help our rankings, which helps people find us, which is awesome. You can also join our Facebook page, and you can follow us on Twitter if you'd like to help us spread the word there. So, where can we find you on the interwebs, Amber?
I can be found at 9 of 12, that's NINEOF12 on Twitter and Twitch, and on YouTube doing the Heresy and Hearsay show. We will start recording that again next Wednesday.
Alrighty, cool. You can also listen to me talk about women in gaming on Glitter Dice podcast, which comes out on the first of every month. And you can find me here on Twitch under the name True Noob. That's TRUN00B. And you can find Jen at The Jen Says on Twitter, streaming on Twitch at The Jen Plays. And you can find everything that she does at TheJenSays.com because she owns it.
She owns the shit out of that URL.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Good game.
GG!
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.